Told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy and you shouldn't be ashamed, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough.
Servant of you, Lord, every bride member here tonight in this assembly, Lord, around the world, this Lord, we're learning to lead, Father. We're pushing back our own ideas, our own agendas, Lord, our own way of thinking, our own way of living, Lord. And God, we're putting our hand in your hand, Lord, and we're learning to lead upon you. And this morning, Lord, my hands are raised, Father, it's God, that's my cry. I want to learn to lean on you more, Lord. God, I'm asking that you'll be with us here today, Lord, as we feel your presence in our midst, Father. Just be with us this remainder part of this service, Lord, is our prayer and our desire. Your lovely name we pray. Amen. You may be seated here tonight, this morning. I'm going to ask my wife if she might come in and sing a song. She got the quite a voice and good talent, and she don't like to get up and sing, but I pray she blesses y'all here this morning.
May I be so honest?
arms. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Let's try G. If y'all know what I'm going to say. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. This article, and I thought it was amazing. It's an atheist view of life, then it's a Christian's view of life. Now, we're going to read the atheist view of life from top to bottom, then the Christian's view of life is from bottom to top, and it's the same words.
Yeah.
Listen to this, I think it's amazing. An atheist view of life, it says, I will live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It is just foolish to think that there is a God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering of the world is a comforting thought. However, is only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I am deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to have me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there is freedom to be who I want to be, but with God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. Now, we're going to take that, and we're going to go from bottom to top, a Christian's view of life now. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think that everything is fine, but with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence with no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you'll be, is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that eternal consequence or people can do as they please that eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It's a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world. That there is a God with a cosmic plan. It is just foolish to think that God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs. Isn't that amazing?
Amen. Amen.
Take the same words, just read it frontwards and backwards, and you get to realize that there's two different views on life.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. I thought that was fascinating to read to you here this morning. But if you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to Revelation 3, starting at verse 20 through 22. It says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And if we can also turn to 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Let's go to 7 through 8. It says here, I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing here this morning?
Amen.
Then if we can turn just to the second chapter of 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. It says, thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man thou worth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now if we can turn to one more passage of scripture, you can be seated. 1 Timothy 6, 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. God bless you now. You may be seated. If we can also turn to one more passage of scripture. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having all the blessed plate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Can we just bow our heads once again tonight, this morning? Heavenly Father, how we love you. God, I'm asking that you'll just take these simple words that is about to be spoken, Lord, and may it benefit your bride in some way, Lord. I'm just a simple preacher, Father, and just a bit nervous here this morning, but God, I know that all things work together according to your plan. God, I'm asking that you'll be with us here this morning is our prayer and our desire. In your lovely name we pray. Amen. If I had a title tonight, it would be a fight to the finish. And we're living in a wonderful time, ain't we?
Amen. That's right.
A great hour. Brother Branham taught us that, or told us that every prophet throughout the ages has longed for this day. This is the day where everything from the seven ages that's been preached is now becoming a reality. Amen.
Right, yeah.
Everything that has been taught, everything that's been believed, everything that has been died for is becoming a reality of this day. Amen. What a day. It may be the hardest of ages, but it's the greatest of times.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But we're in a battle that no man has ever won on his own. There's been many that has tried in their own ability and their own mind frame with their own ideas and doctrines and have fallen to the wayside. Ain't that right?
That's right.
We're in a battle with an evil force that can't be seen, that you can't feel it, you can't touch it, but you can see the effects of it. It's just like air. We can't see air, can we?
Right.
But we understand, we see the effects that we can't live without air. It's here, we can't touch it, but we know it exists.
Right.
Is that right?
Yep.
It's like this force that we're battling against. We can't see it, but we can see the effects. Just like we can see the effects of what God can do to a man. They take a drunk and make him sober. Is that right? Can take a harlot and turn her to a Christian holy lady and give her a wonderful godly family. We can see a man that's completely eaten up with pornography and the world and turn him into a preacher. We can see a young man that has the idea of committing suicide and turn him or her into a reason for living.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Is that right?
Yeah.
We can see the effects of what God can do in a person.
That's right.
Even though we can't see God, we know that he's real.
Yeah.
We can see the effects of what he can do. But on the flip side, we can see what safety can do as well, can't we?
Right.
Take a life and completely destroy it. We can take a young girl and get her pregnant. We can take a young man and get him hooked on drugs and alcohol. And they have this desire, we spoke last night, wanting to be free.
Yeah.
Longing to be free. But condemnation sets in.
Right.
How many's ever fought condemnation?
Sure. Amen.
I fought it for many years. And fought fear and condemnation. And how many's ever had this? You come to church and you feel great today. You feel like God has answered your prayer and he set you free. And you come in and raise your hands, and all of a sudden, Satan brings up what you've done.
Yeah, come on.
All of a sudden, you're up here on the high, now your hands are going down.
Uh-huh.
We'd say something, if you're fighting that, condemnation is a lie straight from hell.
Yep, right. Yeah.
That is Satan's number one tactic, and he will come in with condemnation. It's simple this morning, but it's true.
Amen. Yeah.
Satan will come in with condemnation and make you feel like you're worthless and make you feel like you're no good. That's a lie straight from the devil.
Amen. Right.
Amen. If you weren't worth nothing, God wouldn't have gave his life on Calvary.
That's right. Yeah, right. Yep.
You must have meant something to God for him to come from heaven and die for your sin.
Yeah.
You're worth something this morning. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
But Satan will make you feel worthless and like giving in. It's not worth it. And I've talked to many young people. I've looked at statistics of suicide. And we can see the suicide, that spirit at the age of 10, 11, 12. 13, it's on a rapid pace because the devil makes you feel like you're worthless.
That's right.
He'll come in and he'll hit you at your weakest moment.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Branham says Satan's allowed one punch. He's allowed one blow.
Yep.
And Satan knows you're weakest.
Yeah, that's right.
And it'll hit you there. Brother Branham said you must guard the weakest spot.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. And say your chain is only as strong as his weakest link. You break that link, and your chain is no good.
Right.
Is that right?
Amen.
For this little war, we must win. We must overcome. I've heard people say many times that once you get the Holy Ghost, you don't have to fight anymore. It's a bed of roses. I beg to differ.
Yeah, amen.
Once you get the Holy Ghost, the war has just begun.
That's right.
Amen. Before you have the Holy Ghost, Satan had you in his grasp.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have to worry about you.
Right.
He didn't have to fight you.
Right.
You gave no resistance.
Uh-huh.
But once you got the Holy Ghost and you realized there's something more to life than being bound in sin.
Yep. Right.
Satan realized, you know what? Now I've got a fight on my hands.
Yep. Right.
And you have a big old target on the back of your back now because you have given your life to Christ.
Yep.
Amen. This is the age of the overcomer. We are in a battle for the ages. The other ages are rooting us on. But the scripture says, they without us shall not be made perfect.
That's right.
So, in this battle that we're in, we can't afford to lose, can we?
Right.
Brother Branham says in the Smyrna church age, he said, a man without character cannot reign. Because power apart from character is satanic. So, if we must reign, we must have character. Ain't that right?
Right.
You fight if you must reign. I love this. A man doesn't go into a fight with a losing attitude. Have you ever seen a man get into a boxing ring and just say, you know, I'm going to lose today? That man is usually out pretty quick, ain't he?
Right. Yeah.
Hey. But he goes in with a winning attitude. He said, I'm fighting for my family. And then people don't go into a war with a losing attitude, but they go in for a purpose.
Yep.
They go in for their family, their country, for their freedom. I love looking at history and going through the Civil War and see what the slaves had to fight for to be free. Mm-hmm. Amen. You go and look at the Civil War. It didn't matter the color.
Right.
The blood both ran red.
Mm-hmm.
They fought for what they believed in. Ain't that right?
Right?
They believed in freedom and they were willing to give their life. How many's willing to give their life here this morning?
Mm-hmm.
You say, Brother Colby, what are you talking about? You must give your life if you want to be free.
That's right.
You must identify in something, as we spoke last night. Ain't that right?
Right.
Think that's what made Muhammad Ali so great. How many's ever read his book, Muhammad Ali?
Right.
He's a fascinating. You know? He wasn't the biggest guy.
No.
But he had an attitude that
They would say in his book that he would get into the opponent's head.
That's right.
They always say once you get into the opponent's head, you've won.
That's right. Right.
It's all a mental game. It's like, how many of you ever play chess?
Right.
Love chess. But it's a mental game. It's right. A battle of the wits. You get into your opponent's head, make them feel like they're losing,
they're
going to lose. Ain't that right?
Right.
But a famous saying of Muhammad Ali's, it says, I am the best. You cannot beat me. Float like a bumblebee. Float like a butterfly. Sting like a bee. Excuse me. And he was known for getting in there and just, he may have got struck down so many times, but he'd get back up and say, you know what? I didn't feel it.
Yeah.
I'm coming in for the kill. Yeah. And that's what made him so successful.
Yeah.
I really think that's what we ought to do to Satan sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Get into his head.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Right.
I'm the best. Every time you knock me down, I get back up again. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Amen.
When Satan realizes that, he becomes a, what did Brother Branham say that? He was the clawed and defamed at Calvary.
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
Amen.
He may have a big bark, but no bite.
That's right.
And Satan knows that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen. That's why he's coming in so strong. Brother Branham said, once you realize who you are,
mm-hmm.
you can defeat Satan on any ground.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Right.
Are you with me now? Amen. If the word was good enough for Christ to defeat Satan, it should be good enough for us. Amen.
Right.
Christ came in. The Bible says that he could have, when he was fighting Satan in the wilderness, that he could have called legions of angels to come down. But he used the word.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Right.
He knew this bride was going to have something to defeat Satan with.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. I just love that. Amen. Christ defeated Satan before the foundation of the world. Then you being part of Christ, that means you've already defeated Satan too. Amen. I love to read. And I believe a good author captivates its reader.
Yeah.
Makes you feel like you're living the story. Amen. I go through it. I love reading Louis L'Amour. How many's ever read Louis L'Amour? I think he's probably one of the best authors ever out there because he knows how to go in and captivate the reader.
Right.
You know, before long, if the reader is involved and it's talking about cold weather, you watch it, they get a blanket to warm up. Even though it could be 100 degrees outside. Or it could be, you know, just hot weather.
Yeah.
And you watch this reader as he begins to realize and get into this book. And I love to just get into the book and make myself part of the story. You know, when I'm in these books, I'm a rugged man. Buff, and I've got the five, you know, the beard and I walk through these books and you know I can see myself walking down the streets of Tombstone. You know, you're just with these twin six guns on your hips and you're walking through and you know you're daring anybody to challenge you. You know what I'm saying? You're just because you're part of this book and you're just now I wouldn't dare try that outside of the book. I mean it just wouldn't work, you know. People might think you're crazy, but in these books you can see that this man comes in and there's always all these women that are after him, but there is one woman that gets his attention, and that's the one that will give him the time of day. I mean, that's it. Why does, you know, I always wonder, why does guys always go out for the women that just won't give him the time of day? It just makes no sense, but that's it. That's in the book. You go look at these books, and you begin to realize that this man has his eyes set up on this woman, and he's trying to win her heart, and on the flip side of this, then you see there's another man that's doing the same thing. That's challenging this woman and this man. And you see, in any good book or fairy tale, there are three main characters. Can anyone tell me what these characters are? There's three. In every fairy tale,
right.
There's a hero.
Right.
There's a damsel in distress. Always a damsel in distress. And then there's the villain.
Right.
And in a good book, you know, as we said, this writer rides into town and he's trying to steal the heart of a woman, playing hard to get. Now we can see that this villain has an agenda on his mind as well. He's trying to get at the hero. He always has a mindset. And in these fairy tales, it seems like the villain always capsules the damsel in distress. I mean, it's just a given. I don't care what fairy tale comes out. That's the case.
Yeah.
And now this hero has to come in and has to give his life for this damsel. And if a natural book can capture a reader, how much more should the Word of God capture the reader?
Right.
Are you with me? Brother Branham says, if you don't see Christ in every word of the Bible, go back and read it again.
Right.
I'm going to go a step further. If you can't see yourself in every part of Scripture, go back and read it again.
Amen.
Brother Colby, what are you saying? Are we not part of Christ?
Amen.
Then if we see Christ in every Scripture, should we not see ourselves?
Right. Amen.
So if you go and go open this Bible, and you open this book, and you can't see yourself in any part of this book, go back and read it again.
Right.
This is God's love letter to us. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Amen. We should see ourselves. In this story, in the Bible, there are also three characters on earth today.
Yeah.
There was the hero, which is Christ. There was the woman, which is the bride. And there's the villain, which there is Satan. These two forces have collided, and each one is fighting over your soul.
Right.
There's only two spirits in the world, is Christ and there is Satan.
Right.
If you go look what Brother Branham said on demonology, he said that each spirit must have a body.
Right. That's right.
Christ, when he came down to earth, he had to have a body. He had to have the body of Melchizedek when he came down and met Abraham. He also had to have the body of Jesus Christ when he came on the earth. Christ needs a body. Satan needs a body. Brother Branham said that Satan is powerless without a vessel to dwell in.
Yeah.
Satan can't do anything, just as Christ can't do nothing in your life unless you submit or be willing to surrender to one or two of the Spirit. And the thing is, you will.
Yeah.
You will. I heard many people say, I'm my own man. You are not your own man.
Right. Right.
You are governed or controlled by one of the two spirits, either Christ or Satan, either faith or doubt.
That's right.
But one of these two spirits will govern your life. Is that right?
Amen.
Each time you say amen to the word, you realize that, you know what, that's Christ in me. Mm-hmm. Each time you say, I don't believe that, that's Satan. You will know them by their fruits. Now I want to stop here for a minute and say this. We're at the age of manifestation. Is that right?
Right.
We're no longer at the seed form of this great adventure. Now we're at the harvest time where both seeds have come into manifestation.
Right.
You can tell them apart now. Is that right? The seeds are in full bloom.
Right.
You will know them by their fruits.
Right.
You will know them by your fruits. You can tell a true Christian.
Yep.
You can tell a make-believer, and you can tell a believer by their fruits.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Is that right? Brother Branham said here that Satan has chosen the mind for his battlefield, but Christ has chosen the heart.
Right.
The good guy, the hero, wants the woman. The villain wants the woman. The woman must choose between the two. And that's where it always comes in every fairy tale. The woman chooses the hero.
Right.
The villain gets upset, kidnaps the girl. And before long, you realize, you see that these two main characters, the villain and the hero, now happen to fight over the woman. Each one wants to be your God.
Right. That's right.
Each one wants to control your life. Each spirit is here for one purpose. That is to get your heart. Just as the hero and the villain wants the heart of that damsel in distress. And you see and you realize that at the end, the hero wins the heart of the woman. And as they're getting ready to elope, or not elope, get married, and ride off into the sunset, the villain steps in. And that's what's happened to us, that God has had our heart. But because of the fall, as we talked yesterday, we were given another identity.
Yep.
Satan came in, the villain came in and took the damsel in distress. Are you following me so far?
Yeah.
And the only way, in every good soul, the only way that that damsel could be free, that bride could be free, it cost a sacrifice. And you see that, the Christ came down and sacrificed his life that we may be set free from the villain.
Right.
Ain't that right?
Amen.
Amen. I look at it, and like I said, I love to read. And you see the price that the villain puts on the girl's head. Ain't that what Satan has done for us? See, he put a price on her head, and only took a righteous blood, a sinless blood to to clear us, to clean us from, to get us out of the grasp of Satan. And if we could only catch a revelation of what he's done and realize that we are no longer a slave to fear. I enjoyed that song today, that we're no longer a slave to fear.
Right.
We're no longer a slave to condemnation.
That's right.
We're no longer a slave to the world. We must realize that, but it takes a revelation. So Brother Branham said, pray for revelation more than anything. You must have revelation of who you are.
Yeah.
Amen. Anything worth having is worth fighting for.
Amen.
Ain't that right? The Americans wanted to be free from Britain, so they fought. The Civil War took place to free the slaves, so they fought. I always say, my wife was worth fighting for. And I challenged my father-in-law to a duel. No, I didn't. But my wife was worth fighting for. I didn't think I'd ever get her. There was a time in my life my father just told me, you know what? Leave her alone. She don't want you. She just don't want you. That's just plain and simple. So, but anything worth fighting for, worth having, is worth fighting for. So I fought through it. Amen. If you want to be free, then fight. It's plain and simple. If you want the Holy Ghost, then fight, young people.
Yeah.
If you want to be delivered, then fight. I know too many people that go through life and they claim to be free, but ain't free.
Right.
Freedom is a wonderful thing to have if you're willing to accept it.
Yeah.
But it takes a price.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a sign of a true warrior. When they fall, they get back up.
Yeah.
They're the same. Failure makes a man successful. Not trying makes a man a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that right?
Right?
I'd rather die for what I believe in than die a coward. God has put together a group of people this day that have different backgrounds and have different races and different people to overcome this powerhouse of the ages. Satan has had 6,000 years to perfect his Eden, and we see and realize that his Eden has come to perfection. It's beautiful, ain't that right?
Right.
There's so much out there to lure the eye. There's so much technology. We're talking about in the office that, you know, before you had to go and you have all these cassette tapes of the message, and then they convert them down to CDs. And now you have every message on an iPhone.
Yeah, right.
No longer do you have to change out cassette tapes or CDs, or, you know, if you go further back than that, 8-track tapes.
Right.
You know, I mean, no longer do you have to do that any longer. You have everything right here.
Right.
We will not have no excuse on that day.
That's right.
This is a fight to the finish. There's been many people that has fought this course and got so far and fell to the wayside. There's been people that started the course and thought it'd be great and fall off to the wayside. How many's ever seen that movie, Pilgrim's Progress? How many's ever read the book, Pilgrim's Progress? It's a fascinating story. If you haven't seen it, I would recommend you to get it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it talks about a young man, and he's in a dream. And he's going through this life. His name's Christian, and he's going through every obstacle in his walk of life, and he's on his way to Celestial City. And he meets many villains. He thinks they're good, or thinks they're bad. He meets many people that help him along the way. In our walk in this life, there's been many people that help us. There's been the family. There's been parents, preachers, teachers. We will have no excuse on that day.
That's right.
Brother Branham, you know, I've always heard people say, you know, that God sends you to hell. I beg to differ. God don't send you to hell. Brother Branham says you send yourself to hell.
Yeah, right.
Why is that? You have to run every roadblock out there.
Yeah.
God sets out ministries, and, you know, my dad always taught us that this Bible, this Word, is the boundaries in life. You stay within the Word, you're protected by God.
Yeah.
You get outside the Word, you open up for the devil to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that this fight, like we said, it takes sacrifice. And it takes us to be dedicated and willing to surrender our all. You look at any man that commits to the army, they're dedicated.
Yeah.
They're not some wishy-washy man that's in there for the fun, because in a war there's no fun.
Right.
But it takes commitment.
Yeah.
Just like any marriage. It takes commitment, ain't that right?
Right, that's right.
In this battle that we're in, it takes commitment. God is not wanting some pansy that's just there for the show and there for the limelight. God wants someone that's committed to this fight.
That's right.
That's why Paul can say, I read my course and I finished the fight.
Yeah.
Amen. I think it's time we get a fresh start in life. Ain't that right?
Right.
Satan has controlled our life for too long. I think it's time we let Satan know where we stand. I know this is simple and it's slow.
That's all right, brother.
Forgive me. This is just how I preach. I've talked to many young people, many people that they always say, I can get right tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that? Have you heard that?
Sure.
I got tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry, but what if tomorrow never comes? Mm-hmm. What if your tomorrow's today? They have a song, I can't think of it now. It's called Tomorrow. And they say, the song goes, tomorrow may be too late. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We live in an element called time, and we're governed by time, ain't we?
Right.
We're governed by the calendar. We're governed by our watches. We're governed by time. And we live in this cycle called time. And see, like, we get up. We have a routine. We live our life. We get up, brush our teeth, shower up, eat breakfast, go to work, go eat lunch, come back, to go to bed. It's a cycle and a routine of life.
Yeah.
The scripture says that one day is 1,000 years to God and 1,000 years is one day. I'm about to close, so just bear with me. I think this is fascinating. If you go and do the math on this, 1,000 years is one day to God. And our one day is 1,000 year. One day to Him is 1,000 years. And man is allotted 70 years on earth. That's usually man's allotted time. And if they're beyond that, or it's by God's grace.
Right.
Is that right? There's 365 days in a year. If you do the math on all this, in our little mind frame of time, 70 years to God's time is 2.5 hours. Think about that. If you make it to 70 years, you're at 2.5 hours. Now me, I'm 26, so technically in all reality, I've been here for 30 minutes. God's time,
right.
1,000 years.
Yep.
Think about that. What have we done with our 2.5 hours if we're 70 or... Me, 30 years, me, 30 minutes, these young men here, could be 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
What have we done with our time? Can we say like Paul, we fought the good fight of faith?
Think about it.
Have we finished our course? Have we fought like we never fought before? This is the age of the overcomer where we must fight. Or have we just dilly-dallied around to the finish line and finished when we wanted to finish? We never took nothing serious. We just... Oh, it's just another time in life.
Right.
I have tomorrow. If I can be saved tomorrow. Do we have that time? Do we have that time? I had a brother talk on this about 5 years ago, and it struck me. I had my brother-in-law, Adam Applegate, 18 years old, killed in a car crash. Another good buddy of mine, he was actually a groomsman at my wedding, Jonathan McGeary. 22 years old, killed in a plane crash. My Aunt Rebecca, Billy Sean's wife, Sean Martin, I don't know if any of you know my Uncle Sean or not, but his wife, she was not feeling good on Wednesday morning night, just had a headache, and there was something wrong with her. They took her to the hospital. The next morning, she was dead. We don't know what tomorrow holds. This ain't a scare tactic, and I know we're all saved here. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I think it's a time we must be more serious.
Right. Amen.
We're not at the first church age. We're not at the second church age. We're at the finishing part of this great masterpiece that's been unveiled. We are now at the final time, the final seconds. As we said last night, that last angel has went off the scene. All that's left for this world is judgment. And they are in judgment. But think about it. Brother Bram says, you are what's holding back God's wrath. Mm-hmm. You, the bride, is what's holding back the judgment of God. I like using the illustration. It's like taking a blanket. And one man's holding the blanket. The other guy on the other side has a water hose. And he's spraying it. You can feel the effects of the water. But you can't feel the full force of it. You remove that bumper, that blanket. You get hit with the full effects.
Right.
Wait until the bride's gone. You are the bumper of God. You're what's holding back the wrath of God. Once the bride is gone, there'll be hell on a leash like you've never seen.
Yeah, right.
So what I'm saying is, don't be left here.
Yeah.
We must fight this fight of faith.
Yeah.
Like we've never. We must have such a fervency. We must have such a desperation So God, I need a renewing. How about you guys?
Yes,
I need a renewing. I'm only 26 years old. I was raised in this message. I've been, you know, a musician, a preacher. I've helped my father in the ministry many years. And I, you know what? But sometimes, just like that eagle, they need a renewing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go in the cave sometimes and just get renewed.
Yep.
And I look at my life, you know, and I need God to come down and show himself. We get to that, you know, desert experience where we have to go in like Moses and just say, God, reveal yourself to me. I think it's good every once in a while to get there.
Yeah.
Say, God, you know what? I'm tired of this flesh. I'm tired of the habits that I have. I'm tired of the things that I've... The Martin name comes with many, many things. It comes with an attitude. It comes with thinking you're always right. It comes with so many things. And I think every day, God, I need a change.
Yeah.
Look at my wife. She's had to endure a lot over the years. And I went through a phase in my life. And like I said, I'm about to close. I went through a phase in my life for 3 years. I stepped down from the ministry. And I quit. Plus, you know what? I was still a musician. I said it wasn't worth it. I stepped out, struggling with things in my life, and the Lord actually just allowed me to start back ministry about 6 months ago. And my wife had to carry on the family for me when I was too much of a weakling to carry my family and the load and being the watchman of my home, and I wasn't there. My wife had to be the watchman of our home. It's not the woman's job to do that. What I'm saying is the devil's real. The adversary is real.
Right.
It's time for us to man up. Take the bull by the horns. If we're struggling with something, it's time for us just to lay down the gauntlet and say, you know what, I am here, and I'm going to fight, and I'm going to fight no matter what it takes. I'm going to win this war.
Right.
I had to do that. Watch my wife and my family suffer for years. My kids know more about movies than the Bible. Realize, you know, God, I have to have a change. Desperation sunk in. This is the fight to the finish, people, elders, everyone here. This is the fight to the finish where we must stake our claim.
That's right.
See, from this day forward, I'm going to fight like I've never fought before.
Right.
I'm going to finish this war. I have a story that I love to read. And if you are fighting condemnation, I believe this will help you. If I can find it. I usually have the paper, but I keep giving it out to everybody. It says, in that place between wakefulness and dreams, I found myself in the room. There was no distinguishing feature save for one wall covered with small index files. They were like the ones in libraries that list titles by author or subject in alphabetical order. But these files, which stretched from floor to ceiling, and seemingly endlessly in either direction, had very different headings. As I drew near the walls of files, the first to catch my attention was that one that read, "People I have liked." I have opened it and began flipping through the cards, and I quickly shut it, shocked to realize that I recognized the names written on each one. And then without being told, I knew exactly where I was. I'm going to stop here. This young man that wrote this poem, he was 17 years old. 3 weeks later, he passed on. So this lifeless room with this small file with a crude catalog system for my life. Here were written the actions of my every moment, big and small, in a detail my memory couldn't match. A sense of wonder and curiosity coupled with horror stirred within me as I began randomly opening files and exploring their content. Some brought joy and sweet memories, others a sense of shame and regret so intense that I would look over my shoulder to see if anyone was watching. A file named Friends was marked to the one friend I had betrayed. The titles ranged from the mundane to the outright weird. Books I have read, lies I have told, comfort I have given, jokes I have laughed at. Some were almost hilarious in their exactness. Things I've yelled at my brothers. Others I couldn't laugh at. Things I've done in my anger. Oh my. Things I have muttered under my breath at my parents. I never ceased to be surprised by the contents. Often there were so many cards. Often there were many more cards than I expected. Sometimes fewer than I hoped. I was overwhelmed by the sheer volume of the life I have lived. Could it be possible that I had the time in my 17 years to write each of these thousands or millions of cards? But each card confirmed this truth. Each was written in my own handwriting. Each signed with my signature. When I pulled out the file marked songs I have listened to, I realized the file grew to contain their contents. The cards were packed tightly, and yet, after 2 or 3 yards, I couldn't find the end of the file. I shut it, shamed, not so much by the quality of music, but more by the vast amount of time I knew that life, that file represented. I came to a file marked Lustful Thoughts, and I felt a chill run through my body. I pulled the file out only an inch, not willing to test its size, and drew out a card. I shuddered at its detailed content. I felt so sick to think that such a moment had been recorded. An almost animal rage broke on me. One that dominated my mind. No one must ever see these cards. No one must ever see this room. I must destroy them. In an insane frenzy, I gave the file out. Its size didn't matter now. I had to empty it and burn the cards. But as I took one end and began pounding it on the floor, I could not dislodge a single card. I became desperate and pulled out a card, only to find it strong as steel when I tried to tear it. Defeated and utterly helpless, I returned the file to its slot. Leaning my forehead against the wall, I let out a long self-pity sigh. Then I saw what the title bore people I have shared the gospel with. The handle was broader than those around it, newer, almost unused. I pulled on its handle and a small box, no more than 3 inches long, fell into my hands. I could count the cards it contained on one hand. And then the tears came and I began to weep. Sobs so deep that the hurt started in my stomach and shook through me. I fell on my knees and cried. And I cried out of shame from the overwhelming shame of it all. The rolls of life or the foul shell swirled in my tear-filled eyes. No one must ever, ever know of this room. I must lock it up and hide the key. And then as I pushed away the tears, I saw him. No, please, not him. Not here. Oh, anyone but Jesus. I watched helplessly as he began to open the files and read the cards. I couldn't bear to watch his response. In the moment I could bring myself to look at his face, I saw a sorrow deeper than my own. He seemed to go to the worst boxes. Why did he have to read every one? Finally, he turned and looked at me from across the room. He looked at me with pity in his eyes. But this was a pity that didn't anger me. I dropped my head and covered my face with my hands and began to cry again. He walked over and put his arm around me. He could have said so many things, but he didn't say a word. He just cried with me. And then he got up and walked back to the wall of files and started at one end of the room. He took out a file and began to sign his name over mine on each card. No, I shouted, rushing at him. All I could say was no, no. As I pulled the card from his hand, his name shouldn't be on these cards, but there it was. Written in red, so rich, so dark, so alive. The name of Jesus covered mine. Amen. Are you thankful for that?
Amen.
It was written in his own blood. He gently took the card back and smiled a sad smile and began to sign the cards. I don't think I'll ever understand how he did it so quickly. But the next instant, it seemed, I heard him close the last file and walk back to my side. He placed his hand on my shoulder and said, "It is finished." I stood up and he led me. Thinking of this and all, fight condemnation. We fight struggles. We fight things that can easily deter us from our walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. I don't care what you fight. I don't care what you face. God has already took care of it on Calvary.
That's right.
I've done many things in my life that I'm not proud of. I'm ashamed of. Looking back at things that I've done, if it wasn't for the Lord, I should be in jail somewhere. I'm not proud of my life. But God has given me something worth living for. I got a family. I shouldn't deserve this wonderful family, but I got it. I shouldn't deserve the second chance that I have here, but I got it. What I'm saying is there's nothing too hard for God that He can't take over. It's a fight, and it's a struggle. Sure. You must struggle. You must endure it. But you must fight to the finish, friends.
Yeah.
If there's anything I can say here today, it's press on. Press on.
Amen.
Don't get lax. This age is known for frolic. It's known for fun and games. Now is not the time for the bride to get laxed.
Right.
You refine condemnation, you go through it, you tell the devil that it's written. I always read this story right here. I've read all over. I've been to Canada, I've been all over the United States, and I've read the story everywhere I go. I read it. I go back and try to read it every day. Because you know why? It's a reminder of what God has done for me. There's nothing too great that God can't blot out.
That's right.
Fight. Fight to the finish, my friends. Heavenly Father, as musicians come, Lord, you're the simple thought, God, I expressed the best that I could. I know the spirits are strong. I know this age is dark, and there seems like there's a demon on every side, but God has given us the power to overcome. And Lord, we grow weary. We just grow tired in this fight. And sometimes our hands hang down low. Our heads hang down low, Father. We get tired. We get worn. We get weary. We get battle scarred. God, you promised that you would lift up the hands of the weak. And God, we're lifting our hands, Father. We need your grace and mercy here tonight, this morning. As we yield our bodies to you, Father. I'm asking that you'll give us the strength to carry on. Now is not the time to give up and quit. But now is the time to fight even harder than we've ever fought before. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Amen. Church, one day the end will draw near. We'll fight our last demon. We'll fight our last struggle. The trial that you're going through could be your last. Brother Branham said, one day we're going to open this Bible, close it for the last time. That everything that we fought for, everything we stood for, everything we had to struggle for, everything that we've had to give our life for, one day become a reality. These demons that we face today, it's just a little something that once we get to heaven, Christ is handing out the crown. We're at that marriage supper of the Lamb. And we see all the saints throughout the age that has stood for this gospel. There's a story, and I'll close with this, that there was a king coming into town, and he was looking for a soldier that he could ride on his chariot with him. So all the soldiers that came out, and polished the brass, they got their sword made it shiny, their shield looked great, and they all stood in line waiting for this king to come and take one person to ride with him. The king was riding by, and he stopped, and he seen one soldier who was battered and wounded. His armor was dented. His sword was still covered with blood from the fight they just won. His helmet was dented. This man, he looked at this man and said, "I want him. I want this man." That's what God is going to be one day. We're not going to go into heaven with a shiny sword. We're going to make it to heaven through fighting. in order to get to the end, God is going to take his bride and proudly represent, show her off, and use the people that fought the hardest of ages. But perhaps they will come. All these will come and ask you, how did you overcome? How did you overcome in this age, the darkest of ages? But we don't have to give our life to the natural, but spiritually we do. Brother Bram said, every demon of hell has been unleashed in this day for the sole purpose of stopping you. We have a promise that we will overcome. Amen. As we turn it over to our brother, can we sing this in Jesus' name and press on?
Was thinking about Brother Branham laying back on the bed, and he was, I forget how old he was, but it was close to the end of his ministry, and he'd been around the world and seen God do so many things, and he's laying back on the bed, and he said to himself, he said, you know, you're getting to be kind of old, and he said, if you're going to do something for the Lord, you better get it done. And I know that each one of us feel that way. I know that every one of us feel like we haven't done anything for the Lord, hardly at all, and have a desire, wish we could have done more, and wish we can do more. And Brother Branham felt that way, and that's when the Lord allowed him to see past the curtain of time. And that's where you and I were standing there, all of his converts standing there. But, you know, whenever he was sitting there saying that, that voice began to speak to him, keep pressing on. Amen. Keep pressing on. The battle's almost done. And I hear the Lord saying that to us this morning. You know, Satan wants each one of you to think you're a failure.
Right.
And it couldn't mean any more a lie than what it is, because it is a lie. Because every one of you are very special in the kingdom of God. Every one of you special just in this assembly to each one of us, to each other. But every one of you are conquerors in the name of Jesus Christ. Every week when I hear, come in on Sunday morning and get the church warmed up and ready, and it is always a blessing to me when I see everybody coming in. And I know that you've been out there and you fought devils all week long. He has tried everything in the world to take you down. And after a whole week of putting up with everything he can throw at you, you come marching in with joy in your heart, coming back, as it were, to headquarters to get a new commission for the next week. See, you're overcomers. We're overcomers together. And so that's what Satan wants to make you think that you're not. But you are. You're the prized possession. And like he said, I was thinking that before he was telling that. And then whenever that emperor said, I want someone to ride with me. And there was all these soldiers with all their fancy shined up armor. And he found that one guy. And I think Brother Branham said he was hacked to pieces. He was just cut up with swords and all kinds of scars. And he said, that's the one.
Amen.
That's the one that I want to ride with me in my victory ride. And that's the way it'll be. You'll be there by his side because you fought through everything Satan threw at you. We have that phrase that we say that quitters never win, but winners never quit.
Amen.
There's a lot to think about. Amen. When someone doesn't make it, it's because they fell for something, right?
Yeah.
Right? But we will stand and we won't fall for anything.
Amen.
And because of the grace of God in our lives. And as he said a little while ago, his brother Wendell, his dad, Brother Wendell Martin, the word of God is our boundaries. Right? Stay inside the boundaries. Just think about your life and you're protected inside those city walls.
Yes.
And as long as you stay inside those walls, you're protected. But when you step outside of those walls, and we do it, we've done it many times, we do something we know is wrong and know it. And then sometimes look astonished at what comes our way. Been talking to a man, and well, you'll probably know him. He's in prison. He just over his entire life, he just stomped over the Word of God, and just, you know, and he has said, you know, I take full responsibility for my actions. He said, but this punishment is too much. It's excess. He believes it's excess to what he should be. But what I want to say is, you know what? The wages of sin is death. You're still alive, mm-hmm. right? See? And so Satan wants to throw things at you and make you feel like you're nothing. And when in reality, you are the soldiers that God has made you to be. And you don't fall for all this nonsense. You're still standing because God had put grace in your life to do so. And so I just wanted to come along behind that and just, you know, mention, as we stay in the confines of the wall of the Word, we'll be protected. Man, but even when we make mistakes and step outside, with the grace of God to get you back in. And we thank him for that. We have a need for a daily renewal. It's not just once in a week or something like that. We need to be renewed daily. Another thing he mentioned there a while ago, I thought it was a good analogy of our lives being 2.5 hours. And I believe as we go through life, as we approach that time that we're leaving here, as we get older, we begin to think more like we should. And we begin to look back on our lives, and you young people will know this, if the Lord tarries, you'll look back and say, where did it go?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as you get older and you're approaching that, it begins to seem more like 2.5 hours, not 70 years. And so you really think about that, and I just thought, you know what? When we step on that other side, that's exactly what we're going to look back to. That's going to be the gauge. I realize that. We're going to look on our lives and say, it was just 2.5 hours long. I could have done more, right? Just like Brother Branham was doing. That's in us. Now, God's not going to take that out, because we got to have a desire to want to press on continually.
But
we just thank the Lord for that. And one more thing I wanted to mention, it was said last night, you know, that Brother Branham talked about in spoken word is original seed. He said there's three seeds being sown in this last day. Billy Graham to the nominal Christians, Oral Roberts to the Pentecostals.
Right.
And then he said the seed, the word has been sown. And so, you know, those two angels went to Sodom, as it were, as he gave us the analogy, Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. And of course, Oral Roberts passed away many years ago, and then here just a few days ago with Billy Graham. And we can look, you know, Brother Graham said, those seeds have been sown. And you know what happens when you sow those seeds? You get a crop from it.
Right.
So Billy Graham, his ministry went on to his son, because his son in the natural is his seed. And so that son is coming forth in his ministry, carrying on what the father had sown. Oral Roberts did the same. His son coming forth, he came forth in his ministry because that's what he sowed. And I've said this before, the word was sown. It's time that the word come forth and continue on by the one who sowed it.
Right.
Amen. Now those two angels are gone now. All of them are gone, so there's not much. There's not much left. Amen. We're just getting ready.
Amen.
God's got we're a blessed people to know what he's doing with. Amen. Appreciate it. Brother Colby, Sister Mary. I really enjoyed all the songs, but that song that she sung, I find myself thinking that in to the Lord many times, you know. Because sometimes you get in a spot where you just, that's exactly what you think, what she
right.
sung. I don't know, did you write that or no? Okay. Well, anyway, I enjoyed it. So, and I get blessed a second time because when I go back and edit the files, I get to listen to those things again. And there's many times I'll just sit and waste hours when I'm trying to prepare. And really what I'm doing is sitting there listening to some of the songs and things that are said because it's a blessing to me. But anyway, God bless you, brother. We appreciate you coming. And we feel like you're family to us, too.
Yeah.
He's always been very kind and cordial to us. And I just need to have him come visit a little more often.
Amen.
So, anyway, God bless you. We're going to close in prayer that Brother Tim, if you find another song, we'll be praying as we get ready to go. And by the way, is there actually a Pilgrim Progress movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I've never read the book. I've heard about it, but so you piqued my interest. Let's just bow our hearts in. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to the end of this service this morning, not just this morning service, but this weekend, Lord, we're so thankful for what you have done. It never ceases to amaze us, Lord, how that you always send the right word, the right things at the right time, Lord, and we just are so blessed, such a blessed people to be able to be partakers of the things that we are by your mercy and by your grace. We just ask, Lord, that you'd allow us to absorb and take these things, and may they just be as it were, as Brother Daniel says, in rich, fertile ground, and just find a bedding place there and grow. And Lord, that we wouldn't forget them, but they would actually manifest in our lives daily. And this morning would be a time that each one of us would have, as it were, a renewed vows to walk with you and be soldiers and to press on and not give up. We ask, Lord, that you would help us in this way. We ask, God, that you bless Brother Colby and his wife and his family as they travel back. Lord, I pray that you keep them safe, Lord, and put back into them the strength that they put out to us this morning and last night. We ask, God, that you do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You can be dismissed.